Zeshir Masechta Zvachim Daf Kuf Yud, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Yud Amar Aleph, 11 lines from the top. We had learned in the Mishnah, the Kulan Shechasru, that even though we have a machlokes between Rebbe Lezer and Rabbanon, when is there a chiyuv for Malah B'chutz, everybody agrees that if the carbon was diminished prior to it being Malah B'chutz, before it was brought up B'chutz, the carbon, there will not be a chiyuv for Malah B'chutz. Ask the Gemara Bailuhu. So they ask the following question. Chisaron D'chutz Shmei Chisaron or Lo Shmei Chisaron? We've established that if the carbon is reduced, it will not have the din, will not have the rules of Malah B'chutz. The Gemara's question is, does that mean it makes no difference if it became reduced prior or after it left the Azara? Or is this din only applicable if it became reduced before it left the Azara? But if it became reduced only after it left the Azara, the halacha will be that it will still be subject, certainly according to the Rabbanon, to the halachas of Malah B'chutz. And the way I saw the Echroinim explain the Gemara's question is as follows. We've learned recently the concept of Issachal al Isser. Could one Isser come upon another Isser? And that is in effect what the Gemara is asking over here. Do we say that once the carbon becomes disqualified because it was taken outside of the Azara, the new issue that we have identified, the issue that a carbon becomes disqualified because it has become reduced, is no longer applicable? Or do we say that since the concern of the reduction of a carbon, the psul of the reduction of a carbon, is a lot more of a significant concern than the concern of Yotzei? The reason being, because a carbon taken out of the Azara, nothing happened to the carbon itself. Whereas, when the carbon was reduced, the carbon itself has been reduced. It's no longer what it was. Therefore, even though this carbon is already outside the Azara, it's still subject to the halacha of Chisaron, that even the Rabbanan and our Mishnah agree that if the carbon has been reduced, it's not subject to the halachas of Malah B'chutz. And the Gemara explains itself. Mi'aminin, kivin the nafak, if saluhu, do we say that once the carbon has been taken out of the Azara, it becomes possible, and therefore mali chosa mali yasser, it makes no difference if afterwards it's reduced or it's not reduced, it wouldn't make a difference. I don't know. Yoitze the isa be'enei in. Only if the entire carbon is here is there going to be a halacha or Malah B'chutz. If not, the leisa be'enei, if you don't have the entire carbon here, loy, it will not be subject to the halachas of Malah B'chutz. Amar Abaye, says Abaye, Toshma, the Gemara wants to bring a right from Rebbe Lezer says, Rebbe Lezer poita, at shiakar v'skulon. Rebbe Lezer says that you're not chayiv for just bringing a kazayis. You're chayiv only if you brought the entire carbon b'chutz. And just like, so the Gemara is assuming that just like Rebbe Lezer holds you have to bring the entire carbon to be chayiv, so too will be the halacha regarding chisaron, that if the entire carbon, if we don't have the entire carbon here, if part of the carbon has been diminished, we won't have chiyuv for halos chutz. Omle Rav Barav Chana Labaya Mider Rebbe Lezer Poshet Mar. You want to bring a raya from Rebbe Lezer to the opinion of the Rabbana? We're not asking a question according to Rebbe Lezer. According to Rebbe Lezer, certainly if the carbon has been diminished, he will hold that you're not chiyuv. Our question is going according to the Rabbanon. How far did the Rabbanon take this rule? Amalei, to which Abaye answered, the fairest Milei Minei de Rav, I heard explicitly from Rav, Ad kam le pliga Rabbanon le Rebbe Lezer, el de Isa de Enei. Where did Rabbanan and Rabbi Elazar disagree in our Mishnah? That according to Rabbanan, that you chay even just for kazayas, and Rabbi Elazar disagrees, that's only when the entire carbon is in existence. Ava b'chasarin, in a case where the carbon has been reduced, my delay there, the Rabbanan will agree to Rabbi Elazar that there is no isser of halos chutz. Now, isn't Rav speaking about a case, says the Gemara, the chas of a chutz, that the carbon became diminished even after it left the Azara? And Rav is teaching us that the Rabbanan will agree that then there is no chiyuv falos chutz. Says the Marloi, that's not what Rav is speaking about. Rav is speaking about a case, the chas b'fnim, that it became reduced while it was still in the Azara. But indeed, it could well be, if it became reduced prior, after leaving the Azara, even the Rabbanan will hold that the Isser of Halos Chutz does apply. Ask the Achronim, ask Tosfos, if that's how we're going to understand Rav, then why is Rav telling us that we haven't learned in the Mishnah? In other words, if Rav is teaching us that not only if the carbon was reduced in the Azara, will it not be subject to Halos Chutz? But even if it was reduced outside the Azara, it will be subject to the halachas. It will not be subject to the halachas of Halos Chutz. So Rav is telling us a chiddush. But if Rav is only speaking about a case where the carbon was reduced when it was in the Azara, so that's already something we learned in the Mishnah. So what is Rav teaching us? It must be that Rav is coming to teach us some sort of a chiddush. So I saw a number of terutzim that achroinim how to understand the Gemara, how to answer this question. One terutz is that Rav is coming to teach us that the concept that a carbon becomes disqualified when it is reduced is not limited to carbon mincha, but it even applies to carbon oil. That would be the chiddush in Rav, but nothing to do with chasarim pnim or chasarim chutz. Another way of answering this question is that if we were not to have Rav, we would think that our Mishnah that says that if the carbon is reduced, it's not subject to the halacha of halos chutz, is maybe only going according to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. But Rabbanan perhaps disagree with Rabbi Elazar. That's why we needed the Mishnah to teach us. Do we have to teach us that even the Rabbanan agree? But the Rabbanan agree only perhaps in a situation where the carbon was reduced in the Azara, not outside the Azara. Toshma. So Gemara again tries to bring a raya. The Mishnah said, "V'kulan shechos v'kriyim v'chutz." In all situations, if they became reduced and they were brought outside potter, laf, isn't it again referring to a situation the chutz v'chutz that it became diminished outside, and yet even the Rabbanan will agree that then there is no din of halos chutz. Says so Rav, that's not necessarily the way to understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah is referring to a situation, the chas b'fnei, where it came reduced inside the Azara. That's where the Rabbanan will say there then that such a carbon is not subject to halos chutz. But if it became reduced outside, it could well be that it will still be subject to the halakas of halos chutz. We learned in the Mishnah, hamakrif kachim, if somebody is makrif kachim, somebody's makrif emrim outside the Azara, and there was meat attached to that, to those Amrim, it's still considered halos chutz. Ask the Gemara, but why? Isn't there a chatzitza? Shouldn't the meat be considered a chatzitza between the Amrim that is supposed to be on the Mizbeach and the Mizbeach? And as the Brisker Rav explains, the Torah teaches us, Baruch Bnei Aaron as Karban, our Eitzim, our Eish. The Torah specifically requires that the carbon be put on the fire. And therefore, our Gemara is asking that if you have the Basar attached to the Emirim, and the Basar aren't burnt, why are the Basar not considered a Chatzitza? Av Shmuel, response to the Shmuel, that our Mishnah is referring to the situation Shahavchon, where you don't have the meat on the fire and the emrim on top of the meat, but on the opposite. You have the emrim on the fire and the basar on top of the Emrim, and therefore there is no chatzitza between the Emrim and the fire. Ask Taisus, if that's the case of our Mishnah, then it's obvious that that's the halacha. What is the Mishnah teaching us? Answers Taisus, that since ein derech haktar b'kach, that's not the normal way haktar is done, with the meat attached to the Emrim. So we would think that even if it's not a situation where the basar is a chatzitza between the Emrim and the fire, it still should be not considered a derech haktara and should not be chai for mal b'chutz. Teaches us the Mishnah that you are chayiv. Rabbi Yochanan gives a different teretz. Afil tamer shloi hafkan. Our Mishnah's following the opinion is even if the basar is in between the meat and the fire. For Hamani, who is the Tan of our Mishnah? The Tan of our Mishnah is going according to Shimon. Dama, we learned earlier in the Perek of Machlokes, if to be chayiv on halos chutz, do you have to have it on a boma? You could even have it on any stone. Rav Shimon holds a fila hella ala mizbeach. Even if you put it on a stone, it's considered that you did halos chutz, and therefore the issue of chatzitza is not an issue. Ask the Chazanish and other Achronim, if we're saying that this is following the opinion of Rav, that we're following here the opinion of Rav Shimon, so of course the halacha would be that you should be chayiv, because Rav Shimon holds that you potter by that you don't need a bomba, certainly chatzitza shouldn't be an issue. So they want to explain that chatzitza is considered more of a concern than anything else. For example, they say as follows. When we learned this sugya about do you have to bring it on the sela, or could you have to bring it on a bomba, or could you even bring it on a sela, the Gemara suggests that everybody agrees that a bomba doesn't require a kevesh, a ramp, a karen, or corners, your side, a base. So explain that, Achronim. That even if we'll say that all of those halachas are not required by a bomba, a chatzitza will certainly be considered an issue. Chatzitza will certainly be considered an issue by a bomba. The reason a chatzitza is considered an issue by a bomba is because, again, it speaks to the basic way the carbon is supposed to be burnt on the carbon. Rav gives a third tariff. Min b'mina ein chaitzitz. When you have two things that are the same min, given that they're both the same min, they're not considered. Basar and Amrim are both the same min, and since Basar and Amrim are both the same min, they're not considered a chatzitza. Actually, I saw a very interesting machlokes between the Chazan Ish and his brother-in-law, the Stipler. When our Gemara is saying the min b'minoi enoi chaitzitz, that the Basar and the Amrim are not considered a chatzitza, how far do we go with this concept? Will we? The Chazon Ish says that even not just the basar of this carbon is not considered a chatzitza, but even the basar of other carbonis would not be considered a chatzitza. Whereas the Stipler, the Kilos Yaakov, disagrees, and he says the basar of the carbon, even though the basar is not what's supposed to be burnt on the mizbeach, since it's from the same carbon as these Amrim, are not considered a chatzitza. But certainly, the basar of another carbon, or maybe even the Amrim of another carbon, says the Stipler, would certainly be a chatzitza. And we're going to come back to this point in a minute. This Gemara that we learned now, this concept of min b'mina ein chaitzitz, actually I saw is the basis for a machlokes between Rav Shlomo Kluger and the Chasam Sofer. They discussed a situation where there was a Sefer Torah that aged, and the letters of the Sefer Torah changed color, they were no longer black, or they faded. And the question was, could a Sofer write on top of those letters, different letters, could a Sofer write on top of those letters, different letters, to make the Sefer Torah kosher again? The Rav Shlomo Kluger says that it's not a problem. Because Shlomo Kluger explains that since it's a min b'minot, the first letters were kosher letters, and now we're writing on top of those letters, the halach is min b'minot enai chaitzitz. The Chasam Sofer disagrees, and in fact, Rav Shlomo Kluger asks on the Chasam Sofer, based on our Gemara, that those letters, why are old letters considered a chatzitza? And again, the question probably goes to the heart of how possible does a Sefer Torah become when the letters fade? Because actually, everybody agrees, the Pesachim say, let's say we had a situation, we know that the halacha is that when the Shem Hashem, the name of Hashem, is written, it has to be written with a certain Kedusha. It has to be written with a Sefer recognizing that he's writing the Shem Hashem and having the proper Kavanah. So what would be the halacha if somebody wrote the Shem Hashem improperly? Could he just go and put on top of that, right on top of it, the Shem Hashem properly? Here, all the Paiskim agree that you could not do so, because since the first writing of the Shem Hashem is completely disqualified, it wasn't written properly, there everybody agrees that they would be a chatzitza. They would, the old Shem Hashem, which wasn't written properly, would be a chatzitza between the name of Hashem and between the klaf of the Sefer Torah and the name of Hashem that would be written now properly. Similarly, I saw the Pesachim discuss, we know there's not supposed to be a chatzitza on one's hand when he wraps the straps of the tefillin around his hand. And what would be the halacha if somebody has a watch with a leather band? Would we say that min b'minoy ein echaitzitz, and he could put the leather straps of the tefillin on top of the leather band, and they should not be considered chatzitza? Again, following what we just said, that since the leather band of the watch, of the wristwatch, is certainly not valid for tefillin, when it's not valid, even if it's the same min, there we say, everybody agrees that it would be a chatzitza, even if it's min b'mina. But then I saw another interesting question. Let's say, on Sukkos, a child picks up the Dalaminim, he wants to do the mitzvah of Dalaminim, and his parent is concerned that the child shouldn't chas v'shalom drop the lulav, drop the esrig. So he puts his hands around the hands of the child in order to make sure that the child doesn't drop the dalaminim. And as he's doing the nanuim in that way, can he also be yotze the mitzvah of dalaminim? If we're saying, as our Gemara is teaching us, that min b'minoi ena chaitzitz, isn't this a situation of min b'minoi? The child's hand with the parent's hand. So the Paiskim seem to all hold that you would not be able to be Mekayim Dalaminim. And there are two reasons I saw in the Paiskim. One is, because ain't derech netil v'kach. The halacha is, v'lkach v'mlechem, that we're supposed to take the Dalaminim on Sukkos, and we're supposed to take them in the normal fashion of l'kicha. Putting your hand around someone else's hand and picking up the dalminim is ein derech l'kicha, and since that is not the derech l'kicha, that is why you will not be mekayim the mitzvah. That's one approach that the Paiskim say. But another approach that the Paiskim say goes back to what we discussed a few moments ago, the machloikis of the Chazanish and the Stipler. Because according to the Stipler, even if we'll say min b'minoi ein echaitzitz, the Stipler says that only applies when it's from that very carbon. But the Stipler said the basar or the amrim from another carbon, even though they're the same min, would be a chatzitza. And therefore, even though we have the child's hand and the parent's hand around the child's hand, since they're not from the same person, even though they're both min b'minoi, they're both hands, everybody would agree they're a chatzitza. And it would not be mekayim mitzvah netilas dalaminim that way. Says the Mishnah, mincha shloi nikmitzah. We know that the way a carbon mincha is supposed to be brought is that the kmitzah is supposed to be removed, and then the kohanim amakted the kmitzah. So if that wasn't done, but rather mincha shloi nikmitsa the kriva b'chutz. If the mincha didn't have the kmitsa removed and it was brought up entirely that way, potter. Because there's nothing that was supposed to be put on the mizbeah. The kaimitz, there is no kaimitz here. However, says the Mishnah Kamtzai, if somebody took off the kmitz, took out the kmitza from the carbon, b'chaza kamtzalotaych, and now he puts the kmitza back into the entire carbon mincha, and then he brings that entire carbon mincha, the shrayim and the kmitza, b'chutz, the kri b'chutz, then he would be chayiv. Ask the Gemara Baro Amai, why in this second case of the Mishnah would it be chayiv? We have just a kmitz, we just have a fistful of mincha that we're placing in the between the rest of the carbon mincha, and we therefore mevatel shrayim kaimitz. Shouldn't the shrayim, which is so much more, mevatel the kaimitz? Answers the Gemara, Amrav Zera, Namat Tar b'kaimitz. The Tar used the words haktara regarding the kaimitz because that's what's supposed to be done with the kaimitz. The Namat Tar b'shrayim, and the Tar also uses the words haktara b'shrayim, even though the shrayim are not what are supposed to be burnt on the mizbeach. The Torah still uses the word haktara regarding the shrine, because the Torah uses the words ki chosar v'chol dvash loisatirim ene ish l'Hashem. Now, of course, the pasuk has really come to teach us that we're not supposed to burn leavening or honey, but the pasuk also mentions loisatirim menu to teach even the menu, even the remaining part is subject to haktara. So goes the Gemara further. So now we see that both the mincha, the kaimitz, and the shrayim are to some degree, obviously the kaimitz to a much greater degree, subject to the halachas of Aktara. So now we have halacha. Ma Aktara's kaimitz and kaimitz mevatel chaveri. Explain the Rishonim. What would be the halacha if we had two kaimitzes to burn, and one was a larger kaimitz than the other? The way it would be is, let's say, one kohen had a bigger hand, a fist, than the other kohen, and we brought them together. The halacha is, it would be considered a valid haktara for both, even though one is larger than the other. It's not mevatlit. Why? Because we learned the Gemara a number of times in this Masechta, basically a Gemara Masechta Yuma. The Gemara Masechta Yuma says that on Yom Kippur, we're supposed to mix the blood of the par of the bull and the blood of the sire of the goat, and like that sprinkle it on the mizbeach. And the Torah considers the dam sire still to be here, even though there's so much more blood from the bull than from the sire. We see ein oilim, things that are put on the mizbeach, ein oilim mevatna zu azu. Similar here, two things that are subject to ktiris cannot be mevatl one the other. So here too, even though there's so much more shirayim that there is kaimitz, af haktar shrayim, ain't shrayim back to kaimitz. The shrayim, even though there's so much more than the kaimitz, will not be mevatel the kaimitz. Actually, I saw the achronim ask, why is our Gemara only bothered with this question that the kaimitz should become bottled to the shrayim? Why isn't the Gemara not concerned that since you're putting the shrayim and the kaimitz on the mizbeach, the shrayim should be chatzitza between the kaimitz and the mizbeach? So certainly, if we follow the opinion that we just discussed at length, that mim b'mina ein chaytzitz, it wouldn't be a question. But according to the other opinions that don't agree with mim b'mina ein chaytzitz, how would we answer this question? So I saw that some achrayim suggest that that is included in the limit of the Gemara. That when the Gemara says that ein a kaimitz af tar shrayim ein shrayim vakum kaimitz, that even the shrayim is subject to taktara, that's why they're not considered a chatzitza. Another terrace that I saw goes back to the Brisker Rav that we quoted earlier in our shir. The Brisker Rav says that this halacha of chatzitza, that the carbon has to be actually on the fire, was set only by animal carboners. That's what we have the pasuk, and therefore there the Gemara has a question about chatzitza. By other kabbonis, there is no such requirement that the carbon, what has to be burned, has to be directly on the fire, and therefore the Gemara does not have a question about chatzitza. Says the Mishnah. So we continue discussing the carbon mincha. And the halacha is by carbon mincha, as we said earlier, the kaimitz is removed and it's burnt, but also the levaina, there's a, some Mavoyna on top of the Karban Mincha, that too has to be burnt on the Mizbeach. Says the Mishnah, HaKai Mitzvah Mavoyna Shikras Echra Mechutz. If somebody only put the HaKai Mitzvah, or just put the Mavoyna Mechutz, the opinion of the Chachamitz is Chayiv. Rebbe Lazar Paiter, Atshak Tzasheni. Rebbe Lazar, consistent with his opinion, who holds that you're not Chayiv until you burn the entire thing that has to be burned. So since you have to burn both the Koimitz and the Levoina, if you only put one on top outside, it's not considered that you did a proper Haktara, and you won't be Chayiv for Mal B'chutz. However, even Rebbe Lezer will agree, says the Mishnah, that if you burned Echabifnim, let's say you burned the Koimitz in the base of English, so now all that's left over that is required to be burned is just the Levoina, or vice versa. Ech b'fnim v'ech b'chutz. Here, Rebbe Lezer will agree that you chayiv because you burnt everything that you were supposed to burn b'chutz. Similar then, the halacha is that every Shabbos they put in new lechem upon him in the shulchan. They took out the old lechem upon him. On the top of the shulchan, there were two spoonfuls of levoina, shnei bezichei levoina, that were burnt on the mizbeach achitzayim, and then the Kohanim could partake of the lechem upon him. So says the Mishnah, similarly, Shnei B'zicha Levoina, if somebody has these two spoonfuls of Levoina, Shikr V'Echem B'chutz, there was mak of one outside, Chayiv. That's the opinion of the Rabban. Rebbe Lazar, on the other hand, holds, Paita Shekhov Zashemi. You have to burn everything, and therefore if you only burn one B'chutz, you're not going to be Chayiv. However, Rebbe Lazar will agree, Echem B'fnim V'Echem B'chutz, if you burnt one inside and one outside, so now you burnt everything outside that was left to be burnt, even Rebbe Lezer will agree that you are chayiv. Ask the Gemara. First we're going to learn the Gemara according to Rashi's Pshat. By Rabbi Yitzchak Mavcha. Kaimitz Mashiyata Kenegda B'Shrayim. Mishri Shari Kalusha Miklash. As we just learned in our Mishnah, the halacha by Karban Mincha is, you have to burn both the Koimitz and the Levoina. So the Gemara's question is, if somebody, according to Rashi, if somebody just burnt the Koimitz alone and not the Levoina, how do we look at it? Do we look at it, there's two things to be burnt, the Koimitz and the Levoina, and each one represents the heter, the permissible, by burning each one, 50% of the Karban Mincha becomes permitted to be eaten. And therefore, if you burn the Koimitz alone, you'll be able to eat half, and then when you burn the Levoina, you'll be able to eat the other half. That's one way to look at it. Or the other way to look at it, suggests the Gemara, is that's a two-step approach. First you have to burn one, and then you burn the other. But until you burn the entire carbon, the entire mincha remains prohibited, it isn't yet considered shrine. That's the way Rashi explains the Gemara. Tysus takes serious issue with Rashi's pshat. For Tysus finds it difficult to understand that if the Torah tells us to burn the Koimitz and the Levoina, that if somebody's just going to burn one, he's already permitted to eat 50%. And therefore, Tysus has a different pshat. Tysus' pshat in the Gemara is as follows. Do we say that the Koimitz and the Levoina are considered that you have to burn both? And until you burn both, the carbon is a full-fledged kachi kachim and subject to me'ila? Or do we say that as soon as you burn one, certainly you're not allowed to eat it yet until you burn the other, but you have accomplished that much that you've diminished the seriousness of the isser of eating the shrayim, that it will not be considered that you were moil if the kohen eats the shrayim at a time when only one was burned and not the other? And then, according to this, that diminishment would apply to the entire Karban Mincha. Rashi's pshat, Achronim tried to defend Rashi. How could Rashi even assume that you could do one without the other? Could be, Rashi says, that the Torah means that for Akhtaro you have to burn both, but not for the eating. In other words, what happens is that after you burn both, retroactively, we recognize, that's how the Achronim tried to defend Rashi, that each one did 50% of making the shrayim mutter. So again, ask the Gemara. Bar Yitzchak Nafka, Koimitz, If somebody just burnt the kainitz, ma'as shiyata k'negev shrayim, will he be allowed to have at least 50% of the shrayim? Do we say the mishri shari, each thing makes 50% mutter, or kalushi miklish, or do we say it just takes down the isser, but you have to burn everything, and without burning anything, everything, you can't have any of the carbon? Ask the Gemara, I'll leave the man, according to whom is this question being asked? Leave the Rameya, if we're going according to the opinion of Rameya, Dom v'fagim b'chatzi matter. Going back to an issue that we discussed quite extensively earlier in the Masechta. We know the machshava is pigel. If somebody has a machshava chutz l'mekaymai, a carbon becomes pasul. We discussed earlier in the Masechta what would be the halacha if somebody only had a machshava pigel when he burnt the kaimitz, only when he burnt the levayma, but not when he burnt both. Would that carbon be subject to pigel or not? Ramea's opinion is mefaglan b'chatzi matter, and it becomes subject to pigel. Rabbanon disagree. So according to Rameya, that a machshava by the kaimitz alone, or a machshava by the levoin alone, makes the carbon into pigel, certainly we see that each one is independent, a mishri shari, each one independently is matter 50% of the carbon. If on the other hand we're asking according to Rabbanon, Dama, aim of fagum b'chatzi matter, that you have to have the machshavas pigel, both by the burning of the kaimitz and by the burning of the levoina, in order that the carbon should become pigel, my mishri shari v'loy mikol kosh, then there is no question that certainly that's not what's happening, that until you burn everything, the carbon is completely still osur. Ella, said the Gemara, the question is, I'll leave it to Rav Elazar, who said in our Mishnah, that you're not chayiv if you only burnt the kaimitz without the levoina. Maybe Rav Elazar says that a person who burns the kaimitz alone is because he holds that burning only the kaimitz is miklish kolish, and therefore, what is the opinion of Rav Elazar? Says the Gemara, certainly this can't be. Rav Elazar certainly Rabbanan Tzvir Leit. Rav Elazar, who in order to be chayif for Malah B'chutz, says you have to burn both the kaimitz and the levoina, certainly is of the opinion that Eim Faglan B'chatzi Matar, that just half is nothing. Because if he would hold that the kaimitz alone or the levoina alone have any significance, then why would he say that you only chayif for Malah B'chutz when you burn both? Ella, says the Gemara, I'll leave the Rabbanan the Hacham. The question is going according to Rabbanan of our Mishnah. That the Rabbanan of our Mishnah said that you chayiv for malah b'chutz by the kaimitz alone, or by the levoina alone. Now the Gemara wants to know, how do we understand the opinion of the Rabbanan when they give significance to the kaimitz alone or to the levoina alone? Is it because they hold mishri shari or miklish kolish that each one represents 50%, or just each one is part of a two-step approach? And the Gemara remains with a taker. We learned earlier in our parak that as we've been discussing the halachas of Allah b'chutz, that the halacha is that if you did zrika stam b'chutz, you also chayiv. Says the Mishnah, hazarik mitzvah stamim b'chutz. If somebody even does a mix of zrika b'chutz, he's chayiv. And as the Rishayim Achroidim explaining the Rashi and the other Rishayim say, that what the Mishnah is saying, both by karmel chatzis chitzoni, where the first zrika is essential, or by chatzis pnimi, where all the zrikas are essential, the Mishnah is teaching us that in both of these cases, the halacha is that even if you didn't do all of the zrikas b'chutz, you just did some of the zrikas, you will be chayiv. Continues the Mishnah. We know that on Sukkos they did Nisach HaMayim, they poured water on the Mizbeach. Says Rabbi Elazar, if somebody does Nisach HaMayim on Sukkos b'chutz, he's chayiv. Another din, Rabbi Nechemya Omer, we know we've discussed many times in our Masechta, the Shiori Hadam had to be poured on the base of the Mizbeach. Says the Mishnah, Shiori Hadam Shakri b'chutz, if somebody poured the Shiori Hadam b'chutz, chayiv, he's chayiv. And as the Achronim explained, even though this was no base on the Bama B'chutz, the base is not essential to the avoida of Shvicha Shrayim. Another way I saw the Achronim explain is that the halacha is that even though Shvicha Shrayim is typically poured on the Yisoid, the Shvicha Shrayim may also be done on the Mizbeach itself. That's what the Mishnah means, that it was poured on the Baal. Says the Gemara, Omaydir Amar Rava, Omaydir Rav Elazar B'damim. Even though, as we've been quoting the opinion of Rav Elazar, that Rav Elazar holds that in order to be chayiv for Mala B'chutz, you have to put everything B'chutz, and if you don't put it all B'chutz, that has to be burned, you won't be chayiv. By the Dam, even Rav Elazar will agree that even if you just did some of the Zrikas Dam B'chutz, you'll be chayiv. Why is Rav Elazar hold this way regarding the Dam? The Tanan said the word because there's a Mishnah Masechta Yuma. Rav Elazar of Shimon Oimer, the Makkish Pasuk Kumaskal. We know that on Yom Kippur, we discussed this, they brought Kabbanas Sar LaHashem, and the Sar LaHashem and the other Kabbanas had to be Znizrak Hadam on the Kapiris and on the Praichis and on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. The Gemara Masechta Yuma discusses a situation where the dam spilled between, let's say, one set of Zrikas and another set of Zrikas. What must be done? The opinion of the Tanakhama is, we go back to the beginning. We have to bring a new carbon and start from the beginning. Rav Elazar disagrees. Rav Elazar holds that we bring a new carbon and we start the Zrikas from where we left off. So what do we see from that? We see from that Rav Elazar is of the opinion that when it comes to Zrikas Dam, we don't look at all the Zrikas Dam as one unit, but rather each Zrika is looked at separately. Since each Zrika is looked at separately, therefore in our Mishnah, Rav Elazar will be able to agree that for each Zrika alone, you chayiv if you were malit the chutz. Then the Mishnah said, Rav Elazar Omer, Af hamenasach me'echag b'chag b'chutz, if somebody does nisach hamayim and sukkis b'chutz, he's also chayiv. Says the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Yochan Mishra Amnachim Yatfah, Rabbi Elazar Kishitas Rukiva Rabba Amr. Rabbi Elazar is following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, his Rebbe, Domar, who holds nisach hamayim deraisa. The obligation to do nisach hamayim and sukkis is midaraisa. The Tanya Rabbi Kiva Omer, the Pasuk says, U nisacheha, b'shnei nisuchim akos medaber. The Torah is speaking about two types of nisach, Echad nisach hamayim, v'echad nisach hayayim. It speaks about nisach hamayim and nisach hayayim. And therefore, since nisach hamayim is the raisa, if somebody does nisach hamayim b'chutz, he'll be chayiv. Ask the Gemara, Amrei Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan, if you're saying that the halacha of nisach hamayim is based on the halacha of nisach hayayim, then the halacha should be ha'imal halan. The minimum amount of nisach hayayin is shlushis lugin. Afkan, the minimum amount of nisach hamayim ought to be shlushis lugin. But in our Mishnah, asked the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar me'echad kamer. The halacha is, Rabbi Elazar says, any amount of water, me'echad, he doesn't specify shlushis lugin. Furthermore, asked the Gemara, imal halam b'shayim ha'sashana, there's an obligation to do nisach hayayin all year round. So if we're learning the halacha, like Rabbi Kiva says, of nisach hamayim from nisach hayayin, then afkan, the halacha of nisach hamayim should be b'shayim ma'isashana all year round. But in our Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar says that this chiv of doing nisach hamayim outside of the Beis HaMikdash, the chakomer is only on Sukkot. So Taisus and all the Mefarshim are very troubled with this question of the Gemara. The obligation to do nisach hamayim, even if Rabbi Kiva learns the obligation of doing nisach hamayim from nisach hayayim, is strictly on Sukkot. So of course if you did it any other time, it's meaningless. So what's the Gemara's question? Taisvis quotes Rabbeinu Tam, who says that the Gemara's question is as follows. Rabbi Kiva indeed holds that nisach hamayim is deraisa. But Rabbi Kiva Masech the Tainis says that the chiyuv of nisach hamayim is only on the two last days of Sukkot. And therefore the Gemara's question is, if Rabbi Elazar is following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, then why is he saying that the chiyuv for nisach hamayim applies b'chag all of Sukkot? It should be limited, if he's following Rabbi Kiva's opinion, only to the two last days of Sukkot. That's Taisus. Rav Chaim Griska has a different opinion. He says, we know we've quoted the Gemara, it's the Gemara Masechta Menachos, that says maybe Adam Karbanei Hayoyim A person could bring his carbon today, and his nesachim he could bring 10 days or much later. And therefore, says Reb Chaim Brisco, the Gemara's question is as follows. If Reb Akiva learns the halacha of nisach hamayim from nisach hayayin, then the halacha theoretically would be that somebody could bring the mayim, if he didn't bring it on Sukkot, he could bring it after Sukkot to fulfill his obligation. Just like he could bring nisach hayayin after you have the obligation, after you brought the carbon. So why, if so, is Reb Elezer limiting his din strictly to Sukkot? There's a case that it could be chayif in the sechamayim if he didn't bring it on Sukkot, that he's fulfilling his obligation after Sukkot. Rabbi Zalman in the Evanah also has a third approach how to understand the Gemara's question. He says as follows: if Rabbi Lezer is following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva that we learn the halakha of nisach hamayim from nisach hayayim, so we learn that there's a din. The Gemara Masechta Nach discusses this as well. Maybe Ardam carbon nisach yayin. A person could bring just nisach yayin. So the Gemara's question, says Rabbi Zalman, if there's such halacha that a person has a right any time during the year to donate nisach yayin, if we learn the halacha of nisach hamayim from nisach yayin, so too will be the halacha that a person could donate any time during the year nisach mayim. And therefore the Gemara's question is, why is Rabbi Lezer limiting his din to Sukkot? Therefore, Rish Lakish gives a different explanation to Rav Elazar. It's the mitzvah of Amar Rav Asi. He forgot what Rav Asi said. Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Meshuv Nechunya, Ish Pekas, Beis Chorsim, Es Matias. We know that Shemitah doesn't begin on the Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah. Already 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, one may not plow the field. But if somebody has 10 saplings in an area of a Beis Saw, there's a halacha l'moshe m'sinai, he may continue plowing until Rosh Hashanah, working the field to Rosh Hashanah. Arava, the void that they did with the Aravis in the Beis HaMikdash, going around the Mizbeah with the Aravis, the Nisach HaMayim are halacha l'moshe m'sinai, they're not connected to Nisach HaYayim. Arava, I saw a beautiful verse from the Tver Shloimeh. He says, what is the avoid of the Arava? We know that the Gemara says that the Dalaminim represent four different types of Jews. And the Rava represents a Jew, Ein by Tam, Ein by Rayach, represents a Jew, the Ein by Torah, Ein by Masim Toivim. And the Avoida of Hashanah Rabbah is we take that Rava, which represents the Jew, the Ein by Torah, Ein by Masim Toivim. We put it on the floor, we put that Ravas on the floor, that this person is the lowest Madrega. But Arava also means Kol Yisrael Aravim Zelazer. That we're all connected. Even the Jew who has no Torah in the Masim Tovim, we're all part of the same Kol Yisrael. I saw another beautiful verse regarding the learning now, speaking now about the Nisach HaMayim. The Medrash says in Parashas Bereishis that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, we know the Pasuk said that there were the Mayim El Yoinim, there was the water left in Shemayim, and there was the Mayim HaTachtoyim, the water that was put on this earth. And the Mayim HaTachtoyim, the water that was left on this earth, came with a complaint to Hashem, Be'ino Lehever Kameh Malka. We too want to be in Shemayim next to you. So Kadosh Baruch Hu answered them, I'm going to bring a mitzvah to Klal Yisrael, the mitzvah of Nisach HaMayim, and therefore you'll be on the Mizbeach. And with that they were consoled. Point out the Mefarshim. Let's understand what happened here. How much water is brought from Nisach HaMayim? Based on what we just learned in our Gemara, it's just a small amount of water for 7 days of Sukkot. And when was the base? How many years after Bria Sa'olam, after the world was created, did they do the first Nisach HaMayim? 1,500 years later. Yet, it was a welcome cancellation to the Mayim. Why? Because there's nothing more valuable than a mitzvah. Telling the Mayim that we're just going to take a little of your water and we're going to have to wait 1,500 years, but it's going to be a mitzvah, that is greater than anything else, and they were consoled that they weren't, that the water, that the Mayim HaTachtonim is not Kamei Kodesh Baruch Hu in the Shemayim, the power of a mitzvah.